Begin transmission.
Dungeon Radio After Hours.
Hello and welcome, friends, to Dungeon Radio After Hours, our brand new non-RPG bonus show where none of us are wearing pants. You just can't tell. I'm your After Hours host, Andrew Gerline, here with my fellow Dungeon Radio co-hosts. Introduce yourselves.
I'm Michael Adair.
I'm Alyssa Adair.
And I'm Dalton Rusher Riddle.
And that's a great show. Thank you guys for coming around.
Thank you for having
Andrew,
us.
Andrew, that's not going to be the whole show.
Thank you so much for having us.
I don't know. I just don't feel like it.
I don't feel like it either. Honestly,
he actually
guys.
Actually only paid me for 30 seconds. So if he wants more, it's going to cost.
Wait, you get paid?
Oh, fuck.
How much the fuck do you get paid?
Yeah, you're not getting paid?
How much do you guys get paid?
I've been Venmoing Alyssa and Dalton $3 mm-hmm. every hour for the last like almost year.
Yeah.
So.
For every time
but
we're on.
You're married to Alyssa.
I've never been paid in my life.
So what's hers is yours, dude.
It really isn't. I owe Alyssa a lot of money.
Yeah?
I pay Alyssa at least five times that in an hour.
Exactly. And yet again, I'm the breadwinner in this.
Is it worth it?
Scenario.
I mean, Alyssa, you're married to this guy. Is it...
My plan
how,
is...
How, why?
He, to me, why? Is an investment. And once he graduates, because once right now I'm the breadwinner because he's going to school. But once he's out of school, he's going to write a major motion picture, make us buco money, get us a house, and then I do the divorce.
Wow.
Yep.
Oh, wow. So you're going to wait till he builds up his estate and then you're going to take half
divorce
of it.
Honestly, yep. I respect that. That's a G move, and I respect that.
It's a long con.
It's a very long con.
It's like buying a penny stock.
High risk, high reward.
Oh,
I like it.
That's how
Mikey,
I live my
don't
life.
Give yourself so much credit.
Oh,
God.
So what are we drinking tonight? What do we got, Mike? You're sipping on something.
I am sipping on Screwball.
Screwball, is that the peanut butter shit?
Mm-hmm. Peanut butter whiskey. It's sponsored by a sheep.
Mm-hmm.
It's very
sponsored
delicious.
By a sheep.
It's sponsored?
4 out of 5 sheep recommend.
Yeah, there's cool. A sheep fucking melting on the thing. So yeah, it's sponsored by a sheep. And I paired it with Pepsi Zero Max.
Gross.
Here's the thing.
Gross.
If Pepsi is truly at the maximum, you don't need to add the word maximum. You just call it Pepsi.
I don't know how you max out a zero. Explain that to me. And you can't because I'm drunk and not listening.
Regular Pepsi is maximum flavor. What you're drinking is diet that just adds words to
you're
pretend
right.
It's not
this
diet.
Is the
anymore.
Max of
but
diet.
But here's the thing. I'm eating a maraschino cherry right now, and I didn't hear what you said. So whatever.
Yep. Well, he chews on that very loudly.
Sorry about that.
I'm drinking a pear vodka French 76.
And you're drinking it out of what looks like a nice brandy glass.
A little like martini glass.
Ooh. Because
That's basically what it is. It is straight vodka with some simple syrup. Lemon juice, but then you top it with Prosecco.
So fancy. All right.
I mean,
well, to keep the fancy train going, not really. I had 3 shots of moonshine before we started. And I am currently sipping on some sweet tea with a couple of shots of Tito's in it. So if I start to act like a disinterested stepfather, don't take it too personally.
Oh my God.
You're just practicing.
That just reminded me of Andrew's go-to drink in college, which was the sweet tea Burnett's.
Oh, dude.
Oh, always had a bottle.
The most
always.
Disgusting thing
oh my God.
I've
you just unlocked
tasted.
That memory for me.
I used to drink.
Actually, that was delicious.
No,
I loved it.
No, it was not.
The Burnett's
it
was
wasn't.
Good because you could drink it straight. Yeah. Well, you could. You can drink anything straight if you hate yourself.
It
enough.
Was sweet. It was really
it
sweet.
Was really sweet. But all the best part was it cost $10, so you'd have
it cost $10 like all
going.
The other ones, but you could drink it straight.
Right.
See, if I wanted to drink straight vodka, I would do like a cherry or like an orange, like some kind
but
of
the cherry
one
was vile, dude.
The
cherry
Burnett's.
The cherry
was
one
not
was vile.
Bad. The blue raspberry Burnett's not bad.
Yes.
Yes.
Blue raspberry
or the pink lemonade.
I think maybe next episode we all get a bottle of Burnett's and we try to drink as much as we used to be able to.
I think it's outlawed in LA because of the cancer warnings.
Oh my God! Imagine if we did. We pulled
it stripped
all of the
pain off of a barn. Once.
Imagine
I
if
saw
we pulled
it.
All of the college drinks. We got some Burnett's. We got some Mad Dog.
We
got,
all some
those
Rufalin.
Shitty...
What else?
Four Loko original recipe.
Okay, so Andrew, what are you drinking? Not Burnett's, I'm
assuming. Okay,
so
this is actually great because I, for the last like 7 years, have not been able to get drunk, really.
Brag.
Believe me, I've tried, and I've talked about my sperm on this show. Let's keep
that
clean. And I like that you do.
I'm trying.
I wish Dalton would talk about his more.
I'm trying to knock up my wife. I take Zoloft. I've been taking it since 2017. I'm very open about like the medications I take. I also take a heartburn pill.
Let's applaud for Andrew.
Oh yeah.
Real quick applause for his depression.
There are some side effects when you take Zoloft.
Name a few.
That make it. Fuck it. It's called inorgasmia, and it's exactly what it sounds like. You just can't go over the edge.
Yeah.
You know what
you
I mean?
You can't in your wife.
Right.
That sounds like probably the worst summer festival, inorgasmia.
I was like,
it does.
Where are we going with this?
Like if it was the name of like a festival.
Inorgasmia.
It sounds like a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. Hey, did you see Inorgasmia? It was 4 hours long.
Yeah. Okay, but the whole point of this story is I'm going off Zoloft now to get rid of those side effects because we're trying to have a kid.
Yeah, dude.
Right? But another one of the side effects that I've been experiencing for several years is no matter how much I drink, I just can't feel
it,
which is dangerous because I am drunk. I just don't.
That's
feel
true.
It.
That is dangerous. It. But you're not drunk, so you're level-headed enough to go, hey, no more drinky.
Yeah. Well, then the heartburn kicks in. It's like no point for 7 years.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, that's
but now,
so bad because what if you got like
off of it?
Liver poisoning? Or whatever it is.
Right.
Alcohol
liver poisoning, that's
it. Alcohol poisoning, yeah. So I am feeling it. I'm drinking some red line whiskey that I don't really drink, but I asked the person to go and show me, you know, some smooth, easy to drink, neat, you know? So I'm enjoying it. It's very smooth. It tastes like Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
That sounds great.
And I'm feeling it for the first time.
Oh, my God.
I haven't really drunk since the last time we did
Let's applaud that. Sure. And we have a button for it, but we're going to do it raw. Fuck yeah!
Well, we're delighted you're here with us for Dungeon Radio After Hours, so pour a drink and stick around for even more outrageous comedy from your friends at Dungeon Radio Hour. Before we started, with our little drinks in hand, I thought we could do a couple of toasts together.
Ooh, okay.
I love a toast.
Does anybody have a toast they want to drink to tonight? I can start. I've got one.
Yeah.
Okay, I do have one, and this is sad because this is a guy who's been a pillar of our lives as millennials, I think, for as long as most of us can remember. We lost last week the legend himself, Jerry Springer.
Wait, what?
You didn't know he died?
No!
Yeah.
He's dead,
How
dude!
How did that happen?
He was assassinated.
He went to Spain to do the running of the bulls, and he got trampled.
Damn. Honestly, good for him.
No, he had
though.
Pancreatic cancer. Oh.
Yeah.
No,
he died doing what he loved.
No, he. Okay.
Having cancer.
Having cancer.
Oh, no. He would have loved that joke, though. I know him personally. He would have loved that. So
right,
here's
Jerry.
To Jerry.
Give him a cheer and a very
just
slow.
Just one cheer.
Just one cheer, Jerry.
And exactly. A slow one.
Jerry. He only gets one from me.
I learned a lot about Jerry Springer because I wanted to. I feel like I only know him from the Jerry Springer show. And I was like, how does this guy become the king of trash television? So first of all, he's born in England.
Yep.
His parents, Holocaust survivors.
Did not know
That's real. They were, yeah. So, but then, unfortunately, he did do a DNA test on his parents, and he found out they are not the parents.
Oh!
No, but they survived the Holocaust.
We're going to edit a couple of rim shots in there and a couple of rim jobs.
He was in politics. He was the mayor of Cincinnati.
He was.
For
wow.
one
he had a Broadway musical as well. Here's a fun fact.
He did. He was in Chicago. He was Billy Flynn in Chicago on Broadway.
Honestly, he had his own self-titled Jerry Springer show.
That's true. But I wanted a cheers to Jerry Springer. So cheers to you, you dead, beautiful man.
Cheers.
Here's to you, Jerry. Long may you be a corpse. And I hope you have a show wherever you are now, man, in the afterlife. Do Jews have a heaven?
No,
they
don't
believe
in
heaven.
They believe in heaven within themselves, like heaven on earth kind of deal.
All right. Well, you don't get anything, Jerry. You're just dead. But, you know, we toast to your memory.
Yes.
And we toast to your memory. And Alyssa, what was your toast?
My toast is...
It's going to be a good one, guys.
Someone was prepared. Right,
Alyssa only pauses inordinately if it's really good. She's building suspense.
Build the suspense.
All right, well,
okay.
My pause was because I was considering talking about how we've tomorrow we've been married 7 years.
Oh,
but,
yeah. I'm
but
sorry.
Now I don't want to do that as a cheat.
Oh, shit. I didn't know you were going to go
no,
with that.
No, do it. No, that's beautiful.
I was considering whether or not to go sentimental or not. Ooh. And now you messed
up. Oh, don't
up.
Make me the asshole. I really didn't think you were going to go. You're the one who was pausing.
So I've been married to this asshole 7 years tomorrow.
Oh, you fuck. Oh, you fuck.
So cheers to Michael for being the lovable asshole that he is.
Cheers to you. And I love you. And you know what? I'm not going to call you an asshole. I just love you.
I signed the marriage license.
You did?
And you know what I did?
Man.
I signed not valid.
Not valid.
So you're not actually married.
Shoot. You didn't put your real name?
Well, and he also signed with his left hand. So
it's true. If you've read A Series of Unfortunate Events,
everyone knows
that makes it moot.
Exactly.
Ooh. It's true.
Well, shoot, we're not married.
Well, good. All
What's
the
first
affairs
thing you're
I've been
do?
Having are fine.
Alyssa just
no, I'm
breathes
loyal.
A giant
I'm loyal.
Sigh of relief.
Genuinely happy anniversary. 7 years. I love you both.
No, I'm going to toast to I got a Tushy 2.0 bidet attachment for my toilet.
Did you really?
My butthole is clean all the time.
I'm concerned with how long I hear that stream of water going.
I like the feeling.
Do you?
I like the feeling.
Is it cold water? Clean. Does it shoot up?
It's cold. Oh. I did not pay the extra $10 to $50 for the warming option. I got it cold.
I don't think I'd want the warming option because that feels like used.
The warming option
water.
Is very nice.
Yeah.
Is it nice?
I bet it is, but I went cold and I put it on high blast every time. Full blast.
Mine
cold.
Is carbonated. And it just like fizzes up and cleans.
There's
really
a pulp
well.
Option in there. Yeah, sometimes I add, there's pulp.
Yeah, pulp, no pulp.
Poop
sparkling.
And I go in there with one sheet. And I wipe and I don't look. And I don't need to look because I trust that it's clean. Like God. I have faith.
Cut.
Okay. Yeah, okay, that's fine. But yeah, that's how I feel.
I've never actually used a bidet. Does it take some getting used to? Does it take an adjustment period?
It doesn't. You spray it once into your asshole and then you're like, I've never felt that, but I want to feel it again. And then you just sit there for a while.
How do you line it up? Is there like a little screen with like a joystick and it has like a GoPro inside?
You don't need
inside?
To line it up. It knows. It knows.
It knows.
It's a butthole seeking device?
It knows.
No, it has a button. It has a button. It has a toggle, and it goes back and forth.
So you can fix the angle.
So, like, you can just remote control where it shoots the arc of
can
water.
It, can you
your
control
ass.
It while it's
yep.
shooting?
Yes. Yeah.
So, what I do is, like, I'm like, hey, I have a whole crack, right, that I need to clean. So, I'm going to go ahead and clean all
why,
of it.
Why does the whole thing need cleaned?
I don't know. Sometimes
it's Mike. It's his whole ass needs cleaned.
And I enjoy it. And here's to the Tushy 2.0 bidet attachment for your toilet. It's universal. Put it on any toilet that's American.
Not sponsored. We just love it.
Not sponsored. We just love it. It cleans your asshole. You don't even need toilet paper anymore. Fuck it. Save some trees. Just use your hand or like a towel.
Walk around with wet pants.
Your butthole's clean. Just don't use anything.
All right, Dalton, what
all
you
right,
got?
So we talked about this on our main show for an intro a couple episodes back, and I just feel like it needs repeated because, like Jerry Springer, this was a cornerstone for many of our childhoods. After 26 years, as you guys know, Ash Ketchum is retiring from Pokemon, and the series will continue. It's already started over in Japan. The English dubs haven't made their way over yet. But it's a completely new cast of characters. There is a Pikachu, but he's not the main Pokemon, and he wears a captain's hat, so that's cool. But Ash is nowhere to be seen.
R.I.P. Ash Ketchum.
What is with the hats? Why does you're still Pikachu. I don't need to differentiate. All the Cubones are the same. Why
it's
do
a,
you Pikachu need an
you.
Identity?
Maybe
yes.
Well, maybe this Pikachu has a hat so that we know it's not Ash's Pikachu. It's a new Pikachu.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of Pikachus with hats, I have a bone with Pokemon Go.
A Cubone.
Oh. It annoys me. It annoys me that when you're playing Pokemon Go, and then they're like, oh, have this special Pikachu or this special Pokemon with a hat. And then it just fills up your space because it's its own little Pikachu, and it's got a stupid little hat. And so then all of a sudden I have like eight different kinds. I've got a Halloween Pikachu.
Kill
I've got
him.
A New Year's Pikachu.
Yeah, and then you got like put a Pikachu down. With an HIV test.
I don't
Pikachu
care enough about
wings,
you, Pikachu.
Or, you know what I mean? You got a Pikachu with a B+ report card.
But it's
card
a specialty
and,
event Pokemon.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's too much.
So you got to take them to the Poke Center, put some of them down. It sounds like you can't take care of all your Pikachu.
Well, Pokemon Go is kind of dark in the sense that, like, if you want to get rid of your Pokemon, you just get rid of them, and in exchange, you get like a little Pokemon candy of their type. So it feels like you're just converting them into candy.
So it feels like you're grinding them down into candy when you send them to the professor. I mean, it's
and then you can use those same candies to like evolve them and stuff.
So that you're feeding them to your other Pokemon, and I see it. I see the pieces coming together. It's a fucking conspiracy, and two people killed fucking JFK. Go ahead, Andrew.
I was just gonna say it's like when Tom Cruise eats a newborn baby. It's like he grinds it up in a mortar and pestle. He drinks a slurry, and he becomes.
Allegedly, this is what happens when Tom Cruise eats a baby.
Allegedly. Don't come after us, yo, science Jews. Or what's the church called? Scientology.
Science Jews.
I forgot for a second.
Don't say ill. You'll never make it in Hollywood.
I'm sorry. I love you, science Jews.
Whenever I saw Top Gun Maverick, you know how, like, before the movie, Nicole Kidman will come out and say, like, thank you for coming to movies.
Yes.
And when I saw Top Gun Maverick, he was, like, taking a blender off of the thing, and he was, like, dumping it into a little bottle, and there was, like, a little hand floating in there.
Yeah, you didn't know. He's just, like, sitting there in the back row of those Nicole Kidman, like, commercials. Yeah, he's just right there.
Before I saw Paddington 2, I saw him with a straw on a toddler's head, and he wasn't even affiliated with that movie.
He was just there.
We're just, like,
is that,
a bendy straw
is that movie actually
right in
good?
A toddler's head. Actually, I've only seen the first one.
Well, it has to be good. They made a second one.
No, but I think the second one is supposed to be, like, amazing.
The first one's good, too.
And I've never seen it. I don't really do, like, animation.
It's not animation, dude. It's mixed media. It's live action.
I'm sorry. Is that bear fucking real?
Yeah, it is.
Is that bear a real bear?
You could buy one just about every toy store. Okay, you fucker.
Was that Paddington? Is he a fucking bear?
Yeah, he is. And he likes marmalade, and he likes raincoats, and he likes little hats.
He's animated, okay? And I don't like him. I don't like the way he pretends to be a real bear. He doesn't know shit about bear culture.
You don't fucking know Paddington the way I do, dude. I had a Paddington when I was little. He likes marmalade. He likes sandwiches. He likes being on a train. He likes going to London.
You just keep repeating yourself. This is all you know.
I don't know much about Paddington.
No.
Okay, but anyway. Point is, I hear Tom Cruise is up to some shit, and I agree with Andrew. I think
I actually love Tom Cruise, and I like people hate Tom Cruise because of the I don't know he's weird and he's a Scientologist, but he's never had a bad performance, and I don't even think he's been in that many bad movies.
Well, he's definitely had some mediocre performances though.
What about Day and Night?
Oh yeah, that wasn't great.
Yeah.
Day and Night with the KNI. No one ever saw that.
Night and Day, Day and Night. I saw it. Cameron Diaz, terrible. Let's see, Magnolia. No, that's a good movie.
Love it.
Rain Man.
Love it.
Yeah, it's good.
Edge of Tomorrow. And I thought that was pretty good.
Edge of Tomorrow is fucking amazing. It's like Groundhog Day meets Aliens.
There
you go. Vanilla Sky, hold up.
And I don't think I know because I've never seen it either.
Just wondering if it holds up.
Ooh, Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah,
solid.
That's a good movie.
Okay,
that's
that movie.
That's good.
That movie is hilarious. I did not think it was going to be as funny as it was.
I only watched it recently.
I mean,
really good.
Seeing it out of its time, I think it's going to be kind of unintentionally hilarious regardless, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Right.
I don't think it's supposed to be. I don't think you're supposed to laugh.
I mean, growing up, I watched it recently because growing up, I heard vampires and I thought this must be scary, and I just could not do horror movies.
When I saw it when I was little, like on HBO when I wasn't supposed to, I was like at my grandpa's house. I just had free reign of that TV because he was like old.
Ooh.
He didn't know what we were watching, but it was like, all right, he's in bed. It's 7 p.m. So I go on HBO and I'm watching an Interview with a Vampire, and they're like sucking like thigh meat off of like busty mixed chicks in New Orleans or whatever. They're lifting up their bodices.
Happens,
I don't know what a bodice is, but they're all wearing bodices or something because it's a different time.
There's bodices today.
Yeah, but anyway, it's a different time, so the bodices were different. They're stinky or something. So anyway, I'm watching this movie, but it's fucked up because they, you know, who's the bitch with the little teeth?
Kirsten Dunst?
Yeah. Kirsten Dunst. Okay, so Kirsten Dunst, they turn baby Kirsten Dunst into a vampire forever.
Yeah.
Hilarious. This scene, they're like her little daddies, but they're like, it's just so, it's platonic though, and it's so cute.
Yeah, but she becomes
fucking
evil really fast, and as a kid, it was really fucked up and scary.
Because she can't mentally grow up.
Was it scary?
Oh yeah, because like her mom is like she's all like sick in a corner, and they like kill her too or something, don't they? There's some shit like that. I think she feeds on her dying mother, and then she just has like this thirst for blood, and she's like killing people left and right. You know what I mean? This little fucking Kirsten Dunst with like Peggy Sue pigtails and shit. And it's weird. It is scary as a kid. Any death is scary as a kid. So I should not have been watching that movie, but I was hoping I'd see a tit, and there's no tits in that movie.
That's what it did.
Nope. That I recall.
I think that's what any kid hopes. When you see like a rated R movie or PG-13, you just hope, God, I hope there's a tit that's
I was like, there's got to be a rogue tit in here somewhere, but there was not. Not one to be found.
When you were a kid, and I'm curious to hear from Dalton also, because you were obviously a gay child, right?
Correct.
Did you have, who was your first boy crush that you were like, oh shit?
My first boy crush.
Yeah.
Ooh. It's no surprise that I was a fan of the Power Rangers growing up. And when I realized that I was more attracted to the Red Ranger and the Blue Ranger than I was to the Pink Ranger or the Yellow Ranger, I was like, wait a second.
That's a telltale sign.
I mean,
there might be something here.
You're pretty badass Rangers.
You know what? I wasn't attracted to any of the Power Rangers.
Well, they were wearing masks.
Yeah, you're right.
But also skin-tight outfits.
Also spandex.
I know. I was a horny little kid. I was like Alicia Silverstone.
Oh, my God. And Batman and Robin.
I was going to say,
absolutely.
A 100% gay awakening for me is what Chris Olsen, when he puts on the Robin suit in Batman.
Chris O'Dowd.
Chris O'Dowd. Yes, thank you, thank you.
No, it's not Chris O'Dowd, dude. Chris O'Dowd is the Scottish dude who's in everything.
It's Chris something.
Chris O'Donnell.
Is it Chris O'Donnell?
Chris O'Donnell, maybe.
Chris O'Donnell.
Chris O'Dowd is the guy from the IT crowd.
Yeah, it's Chris O'Donnell.
Chris O'Donnell was hot. I liked him, too.
Or, honestly, you know who really did it for me growing up as a kid? Brendan Fraser in the Mummy movies.
Are you fucking kidding me? Brendan Fraser in the Mummy.
Right, yeah. Peach.
One of the most charismatic roles ever.
George of the Jungle.
Yeah.
Also great.
Swinging around shirtless half of the movie.
Yeah. With the hair and it's all windblown, but he's so innocent and everybody likes how like fucking innocent he is, but oh, he's also sexy. Yeah, I get
it. My God.
I understand. He's from a different time so he can fuck good. I get it. There's got to be like a fucking girl version of this, like Barbarella or something. Or
Barbarella.
10 million BC Raquel Welch.
Are you just saying what are you talking about?
I'm talking about really old movies that our dads got off to. So never mind. And this isn't for anybody our age or younger for sure. So never mind what I'm talking about. I'm drunk.
You know what? Sean from Boy Meets World.
Okay.
Oh, Ryder Strong? Absolutely. Yeah. I had a crush on him.
Anyone with that haircut in that time.
Oh, yeah, where it frames the face.
Where just frames of it. And they can like swoop it back. They can take their whole hand and just go straight
through it.
Plus,
he was like, his character was like a badass.
But also sensitive.
Sensitive, best friend.
Yeah.
And he had secret poetry and a distant dad. You know what I mean?
Can I tell you guys? Okay, when COVID first started, I don't know how this happened, but somehow I was off work for 2 weeks, but I watched all of Boy Meets World.
Oh, man.
And in like a week or two, constantly. And let me tell you, when it ended, I fucking...
Yes, it's one of the best endings for TV shows. Like, it's so heartfelt and great.
I've done that twice as an adult. I keep going back to it. Yeah. It's still one of my top five favorite TV shows of all time.
Yeah.
I love Boy Meets World so much.
It's just so well done.
That's one of the like top reasons why I wanted to go to college, was because of the college years. I was once you go to college, you get a bunch of friends that are really cool. And
look at us.
I know. Isn't that sweet?
Eric became a bit of a caricature. In the college
100%.
Years. So funny.
It's very larger than life, like comedy by the end.
Right.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
It was more set in realism the first couple seasons. And then, everyone just kind of became a caricature.
But you know what?
So is Boy Meets World also your answer for crushes? Just Topanga?
Actually, I didn't have a huge crush on Topanga like everybody else.
Really?
No, I had...
Lizzie McGuire.
I actually liked Angela, which was... College era, Sean's girlfriend.
Yeah, Sean's girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. I knew who Angela was. Yeah.
Oh, she
of course. I'm sorry I explained it.
How dare you?
The tall redhead one I thought was kind of hot.
She's a porn star, for real.
Well, she did some stuff, yeah.
The redhead from who's with Eric, right? Mm-hmm. She, right after Boy Meets World, did porn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much. I don't know if you can call her a porn star.
You can't call her a porn star. You can call her somebody who did porn and... Yeah, it wasn't the best porn. I looked it up. It was okay. Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of porn out there. You got to be good. If you're going to stand out, you got to be good.
You're right. You really got to sing.
Involve a jellyfish. Do something unique.
Rachel is the character.
Rachel.
Out of the Disney people,
Rachel.
I loved T and Tamara Mowry.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
Hilary Duff.
Yes.
And
Hilary Duff was my
guess. That was my top.
Lizzie McGuire.
I feel like since, that was a common one.
Since Casper meets Wendy, I had a crush on Hilary Duff.
Yeah. Or Even Stevens, Christy
Carlson-Romano.
Or the older brother.
Mm-hmm. Or the older brother.
The older brother.
Twitty?
Yes.
Was his name
Twitty?
No, that
was the best friend.
Or was that the
no,
friend?
No, was a friend.
The best friend.
The older brother, his name was Nick or something.
Wait, of Even Stevens?
Even Stevens.
Mm-hmm. Was it not? There was just two
Even
brothers.
No,
there was an older brother, and he was like rarely on screen.
There was an older brother.
But in the opening, he's like lifting weights, and he's claymation.
Oh, Donald.
And he's more Italian than everybody else, and like... He's Italian.
Yeah, he was from the first marriage.
Christy Carlson Romano's kind of like vaguely Italian. And then Shia LaBeouf is Jewish for no reason. And he has like, there's an episode where he talks about his boobala. And I was like, yeah. Who in this family is Jewish besides you? That doesn't make sense.
They talk about it on Even
Yes,
Stevens?
They do. I remember from I like it. Way back.
I mean, is it Shia?
Oh, yes, he's aggressively Jewish. Yeah.
So there you
him.
Go, two.
No, just one. Oh. Christy Carlson Romano is Romano. She is white. She's Italian.
I thought the older brother, Donnie, he was talking.
No.
Donnie.
They barely give Donnie lines.
Oh, I got confused. I thought you said he was
but
talking.
But he was a meathead. He had muscles, Dalton.
That's
like that.
Right.
Yeah, he's like 37 or something, and I don't know.
He was significantly older like than both of them.
Yeah.
But still somehow a senior in high school.
But very hot. No, I get it, Dalton. Mm. He was a piece
it's
of
It's just
meat.
So funny about how much TV influences us in movies. Because I do remember seeing so many things. Like, there was always that classic teenage movie scene where the girl's like practicing kissing on like a mirror or something. It's like, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember trying that. And being very underwhelmed. I was like, oh, well, this is dumb.
Like, yeah, you're kissing yourself on a mirror. I've done that.
Cold
I was like,
glass.
Yeah, this is what it's going to be like when a girl's here.
Or like practice on your hand or something. It's just so silly. Like all these tropes or things you see in TV.
Yeah, like, but then everybody did it.
Yeah.
But also it's in the movie because people did it before.
That's exactly. So it's like it's the chicken and the egg. It's a chicken and the egg. Like, what comes first?
You know what I would always do in, like, junior high when I'd get a crush on a girl? I would lay in my bed at night, and I would pretend like it's that scene after the accident in the movie where guy wakes up, he's in the hospital, and the girl's already there. And he's, like, in and out
I
of
I love
it.
How soap opera-y you're...
He got very soap opera-y.
Yeah.
You have to have an accident for it to happen.
And he, like, he realizes, like, I could die any minute. So he tells her, like, on the hospital bed, you know? And all the people come. It really, I just wanted attention. I didn't have a lot of friends. So I like to imagine the only way to get friends and a lover was to be dying.
That's what TV told us.
Yeah.
That
you
is
need to
what
have
TV
a dramatic story.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Need to be switched at birth or something in order to make friends.
Right.
Exactly.
That is, so many shows are just based off of weird birth circumstances.
It's very true. Parent Trap, which had two movies.
And the Parent Trap remake.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, the Parent Trap had... Oh, you're talking about... The original and
then the Lindsay Lohan ones. Exactly.
Not two Lindsay
Lohan. But there's been another pair.
The original fuck so there's... After that?
Did they?
I think they did.
I thought they remade Freaky Friday.
They did both.
Okay.
I'm almost certain.
No, Freaky Friday they did do. But
or
then again, like
to.
That type of story has been told countless times.
Yep.
That it's like, even if you don't call it Freaky Friday.
Yeah, like that horror movie that came out.
Freaky.
With Vince Vaughn.
With Vince Vaughn?
Yes.
That was actually
I was about to ask. Freaky Friday or Freaky?
It's called Freaky. It's called just
but
Freaky.
No, which one do you think is better? Because I think Freaky is better. I think they took the story, elevated
well,
it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's definitely better. Freaky Friday is a shitty Disney movie. And, yeah,
right.
Freaky is...
But there's also, like, 17 going
also,
on.
Like, kudos to Vince Vaughn. Like, I've always seen Vince Vaughn be very one-note. Yeah. And he did really
Vince Vaughn
well.
Vince Vaughn is great.
Yeah.
He did great
so
in that
well
movie.
In
when he kisses the guy, and he's like a teenage girl stuck in Vince Vaughn's body.
Exactly.
And Vince Vaughn kisses like a teenage boy who has a crush on her.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like,
but
he actually did a really good job.
I believed
he's
him
really
as a teenage
good. It's
girl.
Just Vince Vaughn now. Like, he went from being a heartthrob, right? Like, when he was really young, to, like, doing these comedic roles and being, like, kind of like an underdog guy.
Always, like, a comedic, sarcastic asshole type. Like, Wedding Crashers, Dodgeball.
Yeah.
But, he's always playing that same role.
But Wedding he's Crashers still kind of charming in that. I think he's really funny because he's definitely just, like, improvising and stuff.
He's a charismatic asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he does that so well.
But, like, that's what, he, like, pigeonholed him, right? Is now, like, he's older and he's lost his looks and stuff. And he has that thing that he does. And do we allow people to be, like, assholes and kind of older and not as good looking? You know what I mean? We don't really allow that to happen very much.
What happens with Hollywood people is they're the heartthrob, and then they go through the awkward period.
We have to do dramatic
between
stuff.
Between when they're adults and when they're, like, older, grizzled, looking badass.
Now you have to be like, I wasn't good to my daughter. That's now your role. Like, I have to make amends with my daughter now. Yeah. My adult daughter.
Right.
Yeah, he's a good actor, though. Very good actor.
Yeah.
Who are your guys' all-time favorite actors?
I might have a few, because I'm just going to go first with my go-to, which is Meryl Streep. I have always looked up to Meryl Streep. Talk about versatility.
She's insane.
She is phenomenal. Like, look at Sophie's Choice, but then look at, like, fucking Devil Wears Prada. Then look at, what's that one? The cooking one.
Kramer versus Kramer.
Yeah, Kramer versus Kramer. What am I thinking about? The cooking one.
Julie and Julia.
Yeah. Like, she's just bouncing all over the place. And she's had some duds, like, especially more recently. I do not like her as the witch in Into the Woods. I'm sorry, Meryl Streep.
You do not.
I didn't like her.
Was it that you think someone else would have done better? Or do you think Meryl Streep did a bad job in that role?
I just think someone could have been better. I love Meryl Streep to death, but I do not think I do not think singing is her forte. I think she acted the hell out of the witch, but I'm a purist as far as, like, Broadway goes. I'm a huge Broadway nerd, so I just always get frustrated when I see Hollywood not just get someone who's a double threat or a triple threat. There are too many people
who's actually talented at the
thing. There are people out there who are talented at multiple things. I love Meryl Streep to death. Like I just said, she's one of my favorite actors. Singing, she's only okay. She's not amazing. And there's people out there who could do the witch amazingly. You know what I mean? That's
But is she better than Russell Crowe in Les Mis?
Anyone is better than Russell Crowe at Les Mis. He sounded like he was stuffy notes the whole time. I'm so confused by that.
Versus Hugh Jackman and, like, you know, Anne Hathaway coming in with, God, gorgeous voices.
Favorite actors. I mean, that's really tough.
It's tough.
I really don't think about it often because my favorite actor of all time was Robin Williams.
Yes.
Like, for the longest
time. Look what you fucking did there, buddy.
All your fault.
And all your favorites pass away. It's your fault.
I know. It's all my fault. No, but that was my favorite. He was my favorite actor. He's still one of my favorite actors. And now I really don't think about it because, he's passed away and stuff. He's not making any new movies. I think about in the moment when I'm watching something, this actor's really good. Yeah. But I'm rarely like, oh, I'm going to see this movie because this actor's in it. I, like, see, like, a trailer looks good, and I'm like, oh, this actor's in it. Well, now I'm definitely going to go see it. It's, like, a selling point for me. Right. But I definitely, I mean, I loved Robin Williams because, one, for people who grew up when we did, it was like Robin Williams was the surrogate dad to America, right? He was your movie dad. He was a dad in so many things, Mrs. Doubtfire and, you know, countless movies, right? And he just had, like, that warmth about him that kind of came through the screen. And I really, I love that. But also, like, as I got older and really into film and acting in, like, a serious way, he was able to, like, bring some gravitas to, like, dramatic roles. But at the same time, he had, like, that frenetic energy that came from cocaine. We now know that it came from cocaine.
We now are aware.
I mean, still, great comedian, one of the all-time greats, right? He did stuff that nobody else could have ever done. And I love Robin Williams still. Like, he's in some of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah. The last time I shit my pants was at Flubber.
So there you go.
History. Yeah. So that's a personal history with Robin Williams.
Exactly.
There you go.
Go ahead, Mike.
I'm just trying to think of my personal history now with Robin Williams.
With shitting? Have you ever shit during Robin's movie?
No, I don't think I've shit during Robin's
movie. Probably
too much. One of the last movies my distant father took me to was RV, the movie RV. So Robin Williams is this dad who, like, sells stuff for a living. He's just a generic businessy dad. And he's never there with his kids. So he's like, let me take these fucking kids in an RV like I did when I was a kid. Because they have Nokia cell phones. And they could never understand what it is to be a kid in, like, the 60s and 70s. They're too wrapped up into their technology. So he takes Josh Hutcherson.
Yeah, that story has not changed.
No. Josh Hutcherson is this kid, and he has spiked up hair, and he wears a visor backwards, so he's very street. He was young. He was like 13. And because his kid is all street, Robin Williams tries to mimic him a lot, and is like, yo, dog, it's going to be mad real in this RV. And he just to try to relate to him and make fun of him. Yeah. Because he doesn't understand his son anymore because he hasn't been a part of his life and he doesn't know how street his son is now. He's not used to it.
Doesn't know how street.
He doesn't know how street his son is.
How street.
The wife.
He's joined the Bloods. He's really, really street. He's got a couple of bodies in the bathroom.
He's very street.
While we're talking about favorite actors, Denzel is probably top three for me.
Denzel's really
there's cool. Never something. If you told me Denzel is in it, I'd be like, ooh, okay, because I've never seen him do a bad job.
He was always, Denzel was great to me because he was like a family guy, right? He would like remember the Titans, the preacher's wife. You know, he was always kind of like you said, Mike, he was America's dad, but he was more the dramatic side. Like he played a lot of cops and lawyers and always the good guy, right? Mm. And then in 2001, Training Day comes out. And for the first time, I see an actor that I really respect who always plays the good guy.
Yes.
Really immerse themselves and play just a really corrupt bad guy, play the antagonist, right? And to be that kid in the early 2000s and seeing, you know, your film heroes play this bad guy and do it so well,
it's pretty amazing. I love seeing actors who are cast as good guys get that turn.
Yeah.
As a bad guy.
Yes, and they get a chance, right?
But Dalton hasn't said his favorite actor.
Obviously, all of the greats I think are fantastic. They always put on, for the most part, phenomenal performances. But I've been fairly silent for this conversation because I don't really have one.
Well, just name any of the sexy Power Rangers by name.
No, but say
I'm
why.
I'm kind of like Mike when it comes to movies. Like, I'm not going to watch because of who's in it.
You're more in it for the script of the plot.
But I'm going because of the subject matter. And like, and if somebody's in it that I like, then they're going to catch my attention. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you have any that you hate?
Ooh.
Are there any actors that... When you hear they're in it, you're done.
I can't stand Vince Vaughn. I can't stand Adam Sandler.
So while we're on Vince Vaughn.
I can't stand Will Ferrell. I don't like stupid comedy actors.
I get that. Okay.
When I say stupid comedy, I mean like...
Bro comedy.
Yeah.
Dalton.
Like mid-2000s comedy.
I hear you. Mm-hmm. Have you seen Freaky, though?
No, I haven't. I have not seen it, which is also why I was quiet during that conversation.
Please do not let that deter you. Because, like I said, Vince Vaughn is surprisingly good. But I've been on such a horror phase. And Happy Death Day, Freaky,
Happy Death Day is so fun.
That's the Groundhog's Day, but horror.
I love
that
one.
And this one is Freaky Friday, but horror.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like those fun horror movies. That have you seen Ready or Not?
Yes. Oh, so good. Who's that actress? She kind of looks like Margot Robbie, but she's not.
Samara Weaving. Yeah. She's Hugo Weaving's daughter.
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So good.
Aiden Smith.
Huh.
But yeah, but anyway, give it a chance because I agree. I am not a huge Vince Vaughn fan. I'm also that same, like, I'm not a huge fan of that bro-y kind of, like, Wedding Crashers-esque like vibe.
Anchorman?
But Anchorman's good.
I love Anchorman.
I do like Anchorman.
Because here's why I think stupid, like, comedians who go to, like, a stupid kind of character are funny, because it gives them license to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it also kind of gives them, like, a childlike innocence that makes them, like, it gives them that license, it makes them fallible, but also you can still kind of find them lovable.
Yeah.
And I get why some people don't like that, because, you know, some people are like, yeah, they always do the same thing over and over again, or I just don't like man-children, that kind of, you know, turns me off to the whole thing.
Yeah.
But that kind of makes sense for the writers to go back to that well again and again, because you can kind of put a different spin on it every time, and Will Ferrell can be a million different characters, but you're still using the same device, essentially, man-child, or whatever.
He's so hit and miss for me, though, because, like, Elf? I like. But Talladega Nights, almost too stupid.
Talladega Nights, I think, is one of the best comedies ever made.
It's very stupid.
It's very stupid.
I really think it's so funny. There's so many memorable lines.
You have to be smart to write a really stupid comedy. Like, Dumb and Dumber is... I think the script of Dumb and Dumber is one of the best written comedy scripts.
A lot of people would agree with you. Farrelly Brothers.
Yeah, the Farrelly Brothers.
A lot of people... Yeah, go ahead.
But yeah, no, Talladega Nights, it is, I mean, I watched that like a month ago. It doesn't hold up in a lot of ways, but I also do I did enjoy.
But also when they're talking about baby Jesus, comedies. That's also a solid scene.
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah.
No, like as far as like Will Ferrell movies go, like Adam McKay comedies, it's ranked as like one of the top ones because like the laughs per minute in that are like off the charts. Mm-hmm.
What's the funniest movie you guys have ever seen? That's a hard one. Not the best I mean, what is the funniest movie you have ever seen?
Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story.
Oh, God.
Oh, my
Dewey
God.
Cox. That is so funny.
Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story is so fucking funny.
What's that one character who's like, get away, Dewey. This is cocaine. You're not going to want
You don't want none of this shit.
He's also in Mean Girls.
Yeah.
So funny. He's so good. What is that? He's on
it's,
SNL.
Don't tell me. He's on, oh, God, he's on so many things.
Yeah, I can like
he's
list
the ladies,
his,
man.
Yeah, I can like list his stuff,
he's on
but
mean Girls,
I can't tell
he's
you
on
the name.
The Office. He's on
Tim Meadows. You know.
Tim Meadows.
Thank
you.
God. Okay.
Tim Meadows.
Comedic timing
he's so
is
funny.
Just brilliant.
What are you guys doing over there? It's called marijuana, Dewey. Yeah. It's probably going to make me addicted, though. It's not habit forming.
And speaking of Tim Meadows, Mean Girls.
Oh, I love Mean Girls.
Yeah, defined
so many
laughs. I think almost
so good.
If the millennials voted for their favorite collective comedy, I think Mean Girls would probably be one or number two.
Yeah.
Oh, you're
talking
yeah.
about like post-2000
comedies? Mean Girls is one of the
comedies?
Best comedies ever.
Yes. Can I just tell you, Mike and I went to go see the musical version, and it was so cute because he's like, oh my God, do you think they're going to mention Glenn Coco? And I was like, oh, they have a whole section of a song just for Glenn Coco.
Is it good?
It's yeah. so musical? Good.
Oh, it's so good.
It is a
the
good
show
musical.
Is so,
it's
so
a good. Musical.
So good.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of this. There's been a trend in Hollywood or on Broadway of just taking movies and making them into musicals. There's too many of them, in my opinion, but I think this one's fun.
Oh,
this
okay. What really movie do you guys think would make the worst musical?
I mean, they made Groundhog's Day into a musical for some reason.
I could see that. So, I might get a little repetitive.
No, it was actually a really good musical.
Oh, because he repeats the same day.
Oh, Jurassic Park.
Actually, I would absolutely watch that musical.
I'd watch the fuck out of that. There's dinosaurs around.
I would definitely watch that. Requiem for a Dream probably wouldn't make a very good musical.
Oh, dear God. There's a whole number at the end called Butt to Butt.
Ass to Ass. Yeah. They're taking one.
Ass, oh, God.
Ass to Ass.
The Centipede, the musical.
Human Centipede?
Human Centipede.
Okay, that would actually... I think some movie... If you do it ironically
but
enough...
Like
it
only,
would be a very
like,
camp musical.
Yeah.
Very
only camp one musical. Character really gets to sing for a lot of it, right?
The front?
Because yeah. a lot of the other ones would just be like...
They just hum. They just hum along. Oh, God. Oh,
this
no.
makes me think, it would be fun if the four of us could like... If money was no object, if we could write a movie. We could do that right now. You guys want to like make a movie? I mean, I know it's not like we don't have a video camera, but we could at least make a podcast movie. Right?
I don't know if you understand how podcasts work.
I don't. It's
I don't.
A completely audio. Audio's not yeah. a word. Auditory
I like that, though, audio.
This summer.
Okay. Well, we can't make a movie. But if we were to make a movie, what would it? I mean, what would it be about? What would be the setting?
Okay, so we're in Bermuda.
We're in Bermuda, and there's a triangle, and it's become a fucking problem. I'm sick of hearing about it. I think we need to destroy the Bermuda Triangle.
Hey, this is your buddy Mike.
And Alyssa.
And we want to take a moment to thank you for listening.
Yes, we genuinely love making this show for you guys. So if you've enjoyed the ride so far, please rate and review on Spotify or Apple. It takes just a minute and it's the best way to give back to the show. Also subscribe so you never miss out on a moment of Mike's dumb antics.
Hey, you. No, it really does help the podcast out more than you know. We want to continue making things for you guys, and the best way to do that is to reach as many people as possible. So share us on your socials and spread the message of Dungeon Radio Hour far and wide.
Yes, treat us like leaders of your favorite new cult. Recommend us to your favorite subreddits, TikTok, or whatever secret corner of the internet you frequent to talk to other nerds about comedy and nerd stuff.
Do this, and we guarantee you a place as our right hand in the next plane of existence.
Okay, settle down, Mike.
Oh, also subscribe to our Patreon?
Oh, yeah. We will be posting exclusive bloopers, deleted scenes, and even bonus episodes from some really cool TTRPGs, like Babes in the Woods. There's tons of content to explore. Thanks for listening again. And now, back to the show.
Bye for now, kids.
We have a problem, right?
Yep.
The Bermuda Triangle is wreaking havoc. Yes. It's causing all sorts of disease,
electrical interference,
terrorism,
natural disasters,
fake moon landings.
So they're sending a team to destroy the Bermuda Triangle.
Right. So we need to destroy the Bermuda Triangle because, look, there's been a ton of ships with my Amazon packages that have gone missing, and it's just unacceptable. Yeah. I need my face lotion. I need my multivitamin.
Yeah. It's Ocean's
We've got to
Bermuda.
Send it to
Triangle of Sadness.
Okay. So if we were writing a movie about destroying the Bermuda Triangle, obviously the triangle is something that has been put there by government, aliens?
It's neither the government. It's not aliens. I think it is. Obviously, it's Satan. Satan put the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, my God. In. Dude, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
It was the occult. It was the Satanist.
The appeal to Middle America? I love it. Continue.
So this is a byproduct of all of those fucking rituals that all of these fucking hippies did in the 70s. The
they're to blame.
The Manson family?
They've focused all the negative demonic energy into the Bermuda Ocean or wherever that
they
is.
Worshipped the wrong triangle.
We know geography here at Bermuda's
Ocean.
And you know what? Twist. This is actually not powering the Bermuda Triangle, but rather Amelia Earhart, who's trapped in the Bermuda Triangle. And she's gaining power.
So Alyssa, so what you're saying is that, so currently, present day, Bermuda Triangle, there's some suspicious shit going on. We think it's related to demonic activity, but now we've learned that actually it's connected all the way back to 1920s America, Amelia
Earhart.
Exactly.
She's still alive.
Okay, I love that.
She's in power.
Okay, what if we flash back Amelia Earhart's flying her spaceship or whatever she did?
That's what they're called.
Her airplane. Mm-hmm. Okay, what actually is the Bermuda Triangle?
I mean, this is a
What's
portal
the twist?
To hell, clearly.
It's a portal to hell.
With all the occult.
Okay, and the climax will have the demons come out. There's a huge battle on the ocean. Yeah.
You know what? I think for once the climax is an actual climax. When has that ever happened?
It's an orgy.
Yeah.
I like, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like going literally.
We bring back Amelia Earhart's long lost love.
Through
Oh my God. The devil and Amelia Earhart have sex.
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe.
We'll get there. But that's the end. That's how it ends.
Okay. We'll get there. All right.
So we have to start with a scientist. Who's noticing the seismic energy coming from the Bermuda Triangle.
Right, okay, so there's earthquakes or something.
Yeah, obviously there's an earthquake, so Dalton, go ahead and be a scientist for us.
Oh, look at these numbers coming through on my earthquakeogram.
Yes.
They're off the charts.
God damn it, Benson, what are these numbers coming out of the fucking charts?
It's a lot of sixes and sevens.
Oh. Sixes and sevens, isn't that some sort of British talk for things that don't make sense?
Yes.
We have earthquakes all the time. Why are these special, Benson?
Yeah, what is with you and fucking earthquakes all the time? I'm sorry.
Hey, what's
with you and fucking earthquakes all the time?
I'm the mustached manager, and I say we sweep this under the rug until we meet our team again in two scenes from now.
God damn it, Jensen. All right.
Benson, explain. Why is he Jensen now? Jensen, Benson.
No, he's Jensen. He's Benson. Jensen? Are you drunk on the job again? This is why we furloughed you for 6 months.
Can't you tell us apart?
All right, we cut. Okay, so we're at that's the science lab. There's seismic energy,
seismic
but we're
energy.
Covering it up for now. Yeah. Meanwhile, now those aren't the main characters.
No,
though,
those
are
side characters.
Those are side characters. Who are the main characters? Obviously, there's a team of.
No, we need like a The Rock, like Dwayne The Rock Johnson type to save the day.
That's Dalton.
Yeah.
Dalton. Yeah. His name is what's a Hawaiian name?
Oh, okay.
Tadley Biceps.
Tadley Biceps.
He's a surfer, right? So he's got to have a reason to be on the water, or maybe he's like a boat guy.
Oh, yeah. No, you're
a yacht guy.
He's a boat guy, so no, he's not a surfer at all. He's a boat guy, so he has to have a boaty name, like from Jaws, like a boaty.
Ooh, I like
name.
That. Oh. And he noticed, he's been on his boat, and he noticed some weird stuff going down nearby.
Oh, my God. He came to shore to alert, to find out if anyone else has been.
Yeah.
And he finds out from the scientists.
Right.
That but stuff is going down.
Benson. New name, Mike?
Yeah, he's old Willie Looseneck. And he
Willie Looseneck. Captain Willie Looseneck.
Captain Willie Looseneck, and he runs the SS what is it, guys? The SS
Sheboygan.
Like Sheboygan,
the SS
Michigan.
Sheboygan.
SS Sheboygan.
The waters are usually calm, but I feel like what's his name? Willifer.
Willie Looseneck.
Willie Looseneck.
Okay. Willie. Willifer. Willie Looseneck has come in and he's taking his ship, his boat, to the marina to get fixed. And Mike, you're going to play the marina owner. Alyssa, you're going to play the part-time employee. And I think Looseneck is here to seek answers to any if anyone else has experienced shit.
God, it's a good day on the marina.
That's right, sir.
I forget you're British sometimes, part-time employee.
That's right. Trying to get my green card, I am.
I forget your whole name. God, it's a good day on the marina.
Yes, sir.
Ding, ding, ding. The door opens. Talton, or Captain Willa, what's his name?
Willie Looseneck.
Willie.
Willie. Captain Willie Looseneck stumbles in on his peg leg.
Ah, there goes old Willie. Probably a nice day out on the water.
Willie, this is early for you to be showing up.
Oh, I know it's early. Good catch today, Willie.
But I need someone to fix my boat.
What happened this time, Willie?
It broke.
It broke.
The boat.
It nondescriptly broke. Willie, what's wrong?
It broke in twain. Like it
does. In twain, Willie.
Were you using your big muscles on it, Willie? You gotta be really careful.
Did you drag two pieces of boat separately somehow?
I'm impressed you made it to land, Willie.
Willie, by God, I'm glad that you're in one piece.
They don't call me Looseneck for nothing. I use it like a raft.
I really thought that was just your last name.
Is your Looseneck?
Thank you for clarifying, Willie.
Can you stretch it out like a sail?
The rest of you is so taut, but your neck is so loose. I guess, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it's because of the neck.
It's
okay.
Like a flotation device, sir.
That it is, part-time employee. I'll never give you a name.
Yep.
Willie, bring both halves of your boat up here ASAP, and we'll get somebody to fix that motherfucker.
Hey, you got a job for me? I'm the mechanic, and my name's Larry Tringles.
Hello, Larry. My boat is in two pieces out in the water.
Oh, boy. That sounds like a job for me, because that's my job. What broke up a boat that size? That's the SS Sheboygan. That's the strongest lass you ever did see.
The strongest sailor. Captain.
Oh, what a cuttable line, part-time employee.
She really has a crush on Looseneck, and she's like trying with the strongest sailor.
I mean, Captain, that's what you call a sailor who's in charge.
Why are
Captain.
You rubbing your thighs so much, part-time employee? You're rubbing them so much back and forth. Stop it. Go oil the cash register.
Oh, yes, sir.
Oil the cash register.
It's pretty rusty. I'll give it a good oiling.
What was your name again, Tringles? Tringles. I need you to fix this boat.
Already on it. I need the Elmer's glue and a stapler.
You should have all the equipment in your equipment shack, as this is your entire job.
I didn't say I didn't have it. I said I need it, and I used it because I have it.
Okay!
And your ship's fixed.
Well, by God, that was quick. Next scene.
Hold on, we discovered nothing. Hold on.
Willie, while you wait for your boat to get fixed.
It's fixed!
No, he's getting it fixed.
But I'm here to have a conversation.
Might you tell us how your big, strong muscles caused the boat to go in twain?
There we go.
It was the plot of this movie that done it to my boat.
No, not the plot.
Oh, goddamn the plot every time.
All of a sudden, a brochure for Visit the Bermuda Triangle blows by in the wind and smacks onto Looseneck's face.
Ah, there it is. So the
take another dry run at that, Willie. You'll get that sentence this time, by God.
I think Captain Looseneck had a captain stroke.
Just then, Captain Looseneck falls into the floor from a massive brain aneurysm.
Oh, no.
He died. Dude, but that's what would happen in the movie right before the guy reveals
because
the thing,
the Bermuda Triangle,
they die.
Not only affects the ships that it goes through, but also the people that try and talk about it.
Oh,
the
shit.
Shipwreck was too much for him.
World building.
Wait, so we have a... No, do not establish a plot that we can't talk about the plot.
That's why Captain Looseneck died, and that's the only time it comes up in the whole movie, but it's a whole thing.
Oh, God, Willie, is he dead?
Okay.
Willie, say something.
Well, we've got to feed the dolphins something. And this we've established dolphins.
Yeah, dolphins.
Right?
Important.
Which we will use in the final scene. They'll be strapped with C4 and dynamite.
To blow up the Bermuda
beautiful.
Triangle.
They will be the ones to blow up the Bermuda
like
Triangle.
Like
they're kamikazeing the Bermuda Triangle?
Yes.
They're dolphin causes.
We're brave patriots, everyone.
Oh my god.
But I feel like, okay, so we've at the marina, now we've learned there's some shit going down. So I feel like now we've got some fishermen that are about to leave the wharf. And they're saying goodbye to the employees.
Who's our lead?
And the fisherman says, "Well, I'm heading out to catch me some ocean swordfish. And I'm going to the Bermuda Triangle to do it, because that's the best place for them. See y'all later."
The ocean swordfish is the best swordfish this side of the Mississippi, I tell you what.
The south side?
Yes!
Yeah,
my
you
God.
Make me want to be more piratey now. I want to be just like you. Donald.
We're all pirates.
We're all, I'm vaguely Irish.
You guys think it's safe for me to go to the Bermuda Triangle to fish swordfish?
Oh, we love a good ocean swordfish.
No. None be better than the Bermuda swordfish.
Ah, they're so tasty.
Sounds like I can let my guard down and head over that way.
Aye, let your guard down.
Get on me boat.
Pull the anchor up.
Pull the anchor up. Let your guard down.
Put the sail down.
Pull it up.
Do other boat things.
And untie the rope, and I kick off the dock.
Raise the mainsail.
And we go to the Bermuda Triangle.
Okay. Yes, goodbye. I'm not with you.
Yeah, we're staying here.
Okay, the question is, do we want to show the scene that happens, or do we want to cut to the news of what
obviously,
happens?
We don't want to put a lot of like the budget into this, so we want to cut to the news.
We can't
segment.
Film on the ocean.
So we just want to cut to the scene, because it builds the
cut
suspense.
To the scene.
All right, so back to the marina, okay? The guy was due with the swordfish 3 days ago. He hasn't shown up, all right? And we need our shipment of swordfish because Dalton's here. He's here to buy some swordfish steaks.
Oh, hi. Hello. I'm here to buy some swordfish steaks for my kitchen where I cook things.
Our friend Arthur was supposed to go get some Bermuda swordfish, but he did not return. No swordfish here today.
No swordfish, but the sign says ocean swordfish right there.
Well, we really trusted in
Arthur.
Here's
the thing. I got half a Mars bar and some Evian's and a loose cigarette. And I'll give it all to you for 50 pence.
Well, that seems reasonable. I can mix it with a potato and maybe a leek and come up with a nice stew.
Our friend all is presumed dead. Have a great day.
All of a sudden, a newsboy runs in. A 1920s newsboy runs in.
Gentlemen, ladies, didn't you hear? The swordfish boat, the SS Chapstorm, has been destroyed by the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, but Arthur was on the Chapstorm.
I'm going to go dive into the ocean and kill myself now. And he does that.
Oh, God, that takes such a dark turn.
He leaves the newspaper and he kills himself.
Oh, no.
Should we go after our dear friend Arthur?
Wait, do we not want to address the suicide that just happened?
No, that's pretty normal for kids these days.
The piranhas are already eating his
body. That's true. They're depressed. They're on their TikTok. I mean, do we don't want to take a breath for the kid? No, okay.
Okay, let's take our collective whiskeys that we always have.
Two whiskeys.
And then, okay, so these are obviously, I feel like at this point, we've established that the marina employees are the main characters.
I guess so.
They are the ones who
by
are going
to default, because we keep killing people.
This.
I think after these guys clink whiskeys, they commit suicide with a little bit.
They do. They also jump into the ocean.
They all jump into the ocean?
Yeah, they all jump into the ocean. They're like, oh, Charlie!
Arthur.
Arthur!
But as they die in the ocean, listen to this.
Mermaid.
Their souls, the devil takes their souls.
Oh, I forgot the devil was in
and
this.
Pulls them through the Bermuda Triangle into hell.
Where they meet
Amelia
Earhart.
Okay, we're in a cell now, all of us.
Yep.
I forgot which character I'm
My
playing.
My character died.
I'm just a guy right now. My name's Tony. I'm in hell. Hey, guys.
Well,
this sucks.
Well, Tony. Thank you for dying. So we can use your soul energy to expand the Bermuda Triangle.
Amelia Earhart?
That's what it says on this lapel, don't it?
No, it says American Airlines.
You're the one behind it?
Yes, I am free to tell you that, because who are you going to tell, dead soul? I will tell you my entire plan right now. I haven't talked to anyone.
Go ahead.
All
in
right,
a millennia.
Cutting to the marina.
Okay, wait, but everyone from the marina is now in hell.
No,
so
no,
we
they were from the docks. We're going to the marina. The marina owner.
Unnamed sidekick is still alive.
Unnamed sidekick and marina owner, and you were the guy, you were Trinkles.
The mechanic.
Sure. All right,
Sir,
we're back in the marina.
A giant wave of hellfire? And Is that Amelia Earhart's surfing bot on it?
You got it. We got some surfing music
My
going.
My God, that is Amelia Earhart. I don't know how we got to hell because we were alive. We're separate characters from the people who went to hell.
No, we're sitting in the marina watching her overtake the world.
Oh, okay, we're sitting... Oh my God, that is... Yep, that's Amelia Earhart.
She's surfing towards us on Hellfire.
Surfing towards us on Hellfire.
Oh dear God,
she's... But how are we to defeat her, sir? I'm just simply a no-name sidekick.
Oh, I'll tell you how. Good old-fashioned American guns. And he pulls out a Smith & Wesson... And he aims it through the window. The window's closed. And he shoots one through the pane of glass, hoping to hit Amelia Earhart. I'm thinking several hundred yards away.
But somehow, hits right dead center.
Yeah, do I kill her? Do I kill her?
You kill her, but because her heart
God damn, I'm good.
Was creating the energy, right, to open the portal to hell. So by destroying her heart, there's a blast of energy. This is what causes the ships from hell to come up to the surface?
It sounds like a sequel is what we need to finish this off.
Part-time employee, shut the hell up. Okay, here's what we need. We need some more weapons, more guns, more ammo, maybe a tank. Does anybody have a Sherman tank?
By this point, we've established the guy who works at the military surplus store down the street.
Mm-hmm,
he kicks in the door. He's heard the news. He's got weapons. Dalton?
Fall in line, maggots.
Lieutenant Flapperson! You're here to save the day.
Oh, that's my right. God, Lieutenant Flapperson. God, it's been so long, sir. How are you?
Doesn't matter how I am. All that matters is we bring that hellfire surfing Amelia Earhart down to the ground.
Did you bring the Sherman tank?
I don't go anywhere without my Sherman.
Oh, that's my lieutenant. God, I am glad to have served by you, sir.
Pull the tank out of his pocket.
I'll fall in line for anyone with a gruff mustache, sir.
Part-time employee, shut the hell up. Fall in line. Okay.
Dalton, Lieutenant Flapperson, pulls out a Sherman tank.
Yes.
A tiny one.
He pulls
one,
it out.
He sets it down.
And then I just
the
add
dock.
A drop of water to it. And
yeah,
it
he takes an eyedropper. He drops water, and it. But then it has, like, floaties on the bottom. So it can
does.
Be. We push it in the... In the ocean, and now it's a boat.
The tank is a boat?
Yeah, that's some good old-fashioned Bermuda technology, I tell you what. All right, let's go ahead and climb inside the tank.
We all get in the tank.
Trinkles, you're last.
And then...
Oh, my God, the wheel's deflated. Lieutenant, what are we going to do?
Someone needs to be the wheel.
Oh, my God. Okay, I've got it. We have a dead body over here. Loose neck. You're going to be useful one last time.
Wait.
Body.
Sorry, sir. It's been an honor serving with you. I know what I must do. And I jump off the side of the tank boat, grab onto a dolphin kazi, and we swim towards Amelia Earhart.
Wait, okay, so you are the one who arm the dolphins with bombs?
Yes.
Unnamed employee. You weren't supposed to bring those bombs to work. But I'm so glad you did. They swim out. It's beautiful. It's slow motion.
Well, I guess that's...
Music swells, and there's just a mushroom cloud in the middle of the ocean. And dolphins are exploding. There's fins. Dorsal fins, bottlenoses, flying. Amelia Earhart, like her perfect 1920s haircut, flops onto the beach.
Oh, just the haircut.
Just the haircut.
The scalp.
The haircut.
The Lockheed Electra she got lost in, like a wing gets stuck in a tree. And we think... God damn it, part-time employee. You saved the day.
Where is Loose Neck with those fucking sandwiches? I mean, oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. Oh, shit. Well,
fade to black.
And then Loose Neck comes back with sandwiches. Credits roll as we
beautiful.
Eat some delicious Italian beef.
Some beautiful, delicious sandwiches.
I think that movie would probably get like a 6.8 on IMDb.
I think Metacritic would give it a 52 at the very least.
At
what are we
going to
call it though? That's mm-hmm. We had to give this a title.
The Devil's Pyramid.
The
Devil's Pyramid Triangle 3D.
Oh, are we going to do it in 3D now?
Yeah, now it's 3D so you can see like the porpoises coming at you in three dimensions.
That's Last Call. I think we've had some fun tonight. We've had some laughs, but now it is time to say goodnight. Before we go, does anyone want to give some oddly specific, unsolicited advice?
No.
For my parting thoughts, I just want to say, if I can be sincere for a moment, y'all, the writer's strike is going on right now. It's real. It affects a lot of people. You know, it's not just writers that are affected. It affects everybody that works in show business.
Yeah.
All work is halted for a lot of people.
Mm.
And it's... It's an interesting time. So the actionable thing is, if you like something, shout it out, share it, you know, make sure people's work gets seen, also pay for it. I think that's one of the most important things. If you can, support your writers. Support your local writers, support industry writers, support artists in general.
Right on, right on.
All right, who else?
If you have children, multiple children, pick a favorite. It's going to make the others try harder.
That is absolutely true. And that is an efficient household.
Dalton, when you think about it, pickles are just sassy cucumbers. So don't be mad at them.
Who's mad at you?
Is anyone mad at pickles?
I'm mad at pickles. I'm pissed at pickles, honestly. This one was for
and
me.
That's my advice.
So basically only eat the
Don't
sassy
disrespect
ones.
Earwax because it's the mustard of the ear. And this has been Dungeon Radio After Hours. Get the fuck out.
Cheers and good
Hitler
night.
Hitler died a coward. Have a great night, guys.
Hey everybody, thank you so much for being here to check out Dungeon Radio After Hours. Be on the lookout for new upcoming episodes of this bonus show. They'll be uploaded periodically, so keep your eyes and ears peeled. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Dungeon Radio Hour, where you can find a link tree to the rest of our socials, including Patreon. Come on back next Tuesday, May 30th, when the next main episode of Dungeon Radio Hour drops. Also, our one-year anniversary is upon us. We've got some excellent surprises coming your way, so keep the volume up, the dial tuned in, and always say yes to adventure. Cheers for now.
My toast is...
It's going to be a good one, guys.
Someone was prepared.
Alyssa only pauses inordinately if it's really good. This is like when the waitress is like, and what suspense. Do you want, honey? And you're like, oh, gosh, how do you even pronounce it? Caesar salad. just making your mind up. Mm-hmm.